Once you turn it on, you won't even think about it.
What?
You won't even think about
oh.
it. Well, first of all, I see that you've lived all your life in Madonna.
Right here.
Were you born right here?
Yeah.
And how long has this house been in your family?
Well, my grandfather owned it. He didn't build it. It was owned by people named Henderson. There used to be a lot of Hendersons around here. And my grandfather, Andrew Turner, the Turners had a farm, well, still have, down over the hill. And they had a little house down there. And then when he got married, he got this house, and then he owned this farm, and then they all farmed together. And that's how they worked that. So it still belongs. Then my father owned both farms, all one farm. He was James. The Turners were either Andrew or James. Mm. But there was a Thomas, the first one. And we have some Howard Turners now. They live over at Black Horse. And Andy was his son. The reason he went to Arizona, the daughter, Rosanna, married a fellow that was a geologist. Well, there's not much for a geologist to do around here. And somebody that he knew was out in Arizona, and he wrote to Craig about this geology, but you know, it's out there in mountains. So they wrote to Craig, and he and Rosanna went out there, and he chops at some stones or something, and she's a dietitian. So they both work, and they did very well. So Andy went out to see him, and he liked it so well out there. Didn't have to bother with snow, but boy, it gets hot right now. And so I didn't have him to dig any snow for me either, but it hasn't been deep enough that I had to have it dug out. Mm. But somebody will do it if they do. Mm-hmm. We haven't got a man on the place now. I said, be a treat to see one. Because I had three brothers. I had my father. We had other men working here. And they're all gone. And there is a man, a farmer, and his son who work here on the farm. We still, well, it's my sister-in-law. We still have a farm. But, and they're good workers. We used to have a dairy farm. Mm. And we had a whole lot of cows. And at the middle of the month was milk check day. They always got paid. Everybody around had a farm. Mm. And, well, of course, there was nobody to take care of the cows here anymore. And that's happened in a lot of places. So the developments have, but they haven't developed this farm yet. Over on the Madonna Road is developed. But not on this road. And Grandma Fitz down here, she came, I call her my city slicker friend. I never had a city slicker friend before. But they lived out, her son-in-law was a school principal of Northern High School, I think it was. And things got kind of rough down there, and they moved down here and brought their three boys. They grew up out here. I mean, one of them was already married, I believe, but the other two went up to North Hawthorne High School, and they grew here, and they're all married now. So there's Mr. and Mrs. and Grandma Fitz. And, she's a delightful person, and she just thinks it's wonderful. She doesn't want any more people to come out here. She doesn't want any more people to get from the city to get any land out here. So, we are good friends. And she's a good Catholic, but she goes to Bethel Church, our church, because because some of the things happened there. Mm-hmm. And so she's got to know the people. And she belongs to the ARP, that's the American Association of Retired People. She belongs to that. And she's got to know all of us. And she thinks we're fine. And we think she is. So that's Grandma Fitz down on the other. That's the Troyer Road. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of Troyers that lived. There's still Troyers live on that road. Mm-hmm. And this is the Harford Creamery Road because in the long ago, before they had as many cows and such a big milk business. You see, when they got this milk check, they sent the milk to Baltimore. It had a big truck, and it came around, still does, think, and to everybody's place. And they gathered up the milk and took it into the city. And then they sent us a milk check. Not me, but my family. I was a school teacher. But they sent the milk check once a month, so that was a big day. Mm. And but before that, they had a man named Anderson up the road farther. He had a big idea. He kept a store, and he started buying people's milk, and he would separate it and make the cream into butter and sell the butter. And I think he kept some pigs and they got the milk. We could keep what we wanted at home. Mm-hmm. And every morning there were milk wagons, little wagons going by the road, and the dogs would run out and bark at them, and they'd holler at the dogs. Mm-hmm. And every morning they would go by and they'd sell this milk. And I think they kept that up until they started this truck that went to Baltimore. Hmm. But everybody, one winter, we had a big snow blizzard, and the truck couldn't get in. And we thought we'd have to throw the milk away. And on the very day when they were about, they filled all the milk cans and everything else they could find. On the very day when they were about to throw it out, the milk truck came through, the snowplow came through. We didn't used to have a snowplow, of course. Mm-hmm. Every winter, my brothers and all the neighbors would have to get out in the road and dig it out. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have to go away to work then, because everybody had a dairy farm, and we didn't have to get away. And even church is different now. Nowadays, they take vacation in church. The people have come out from the city, you know, and they've taken the farms, and they have to have a vacation. So we still go to church. But we have an early service for the ones that want to go away someplace, and then a regular service. That's out of Bethel Presbyterian, right up here at Madonna. And we've been going there for generations. But it isn't that way anymore, you see. There are new people that come in, and they don't even stay one generation. Mm. But so we had our big time in the church in the summertime, because they would get the harvesting done. They'd try to get they'd cut down enough hay that they could get it up on Saturday, and nobody went in the harvest field on Sunday. They wouldn't have dared. They'd think they'd be struck by lightning or something. Mm. And then, so they came, when a big snow came, we couldn't get out, and so we wouldn't have church. But we had it all summer. We didn't think, and had Sunday school. That was a big time in summer. Now it's for the city people. They're all right. They're nice people, of course. But it's just different. Hmm. There I am. I've been there. I used to know generation after generation and after generation. And there are all these people that I don't know at all. it's all right, but it's just different. And the, of course, the, that's where the Harvard Creamery Road got its name. It went up to the Harvard Creamery. Everybody went to it. That's the way they made their living.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was nice. Of course, we didn't have a furnace. I couldn't live without it, no, because I couldn't carry coal and I couldn't chop wood. But we had wood stoves, and we didn't use that fireplace then. It had a board across it. But we had a stove. We had a coal stove here, and it had eyes and glass around the sides, and it was pretty. And I used to love to sit around that stove and look at it. But I guess the eyes and glass wore out. I wish I had it still, just to see it, but I don't. And we had a wood stove out there. And of course, I had to chop the wood. And my brothers, that was their job. My father cut the wood, I guess, and they carried it in after I got home from school. We had busy days. In the morning, I remember my oldest brother, my sister, and I each had a calf to feed before we went to school. And so we'd each take a bucket and we'd put a little bit of milk in it. And we'd run to the stable, see who could get there first. And then we would hold the bucket under the calf's nose and see which calf would get through first. And then we'd run to see which could get back first. And one day it was icy, and I slipped on some ice, and I fell down, and I bumped my nose, and it all got black and blue. But I went to school. I wouldn't stay home from school for anything. I loved to go to school. And we walked out through the woods over to Madonna. And everybody said, "Oh, what did you do to your nose?" And I got lots of attention. And I thought that was fine. But it got, well, it got all right. I didn't break it. But it didn't feel very good when I fell. And we didn't have much heat upstairs. Sometimes we had a little stove up there. And sometimes we didn't. We had feather beds, and they made us nice and warm. And we had woolly blankets and lots of homemade quilts. Once we got in it, we were nice and warm. And then we got in the morning, we'd usually come prancing downstairs where it was warmer. And everybody ate breakfast in the morning. I mean, some people, they get up and go now and don't bother that. But we all sat around the table and had breakfast the same as any other meal. And we had hot cakes and sausage. And we called it molasses. They didn't have the king syrup now, but it was something that was good. Oh, we had homemade jelly. And we kids would go and pick the blackberries in the summertime. And then my mother would make the jelly, and then we'd put the jelly on or bread. And my mother made delicious bread, and she had to make, you couldn't buy anything to eat then, coffee and sugar, but she had to make the bread. My father made sauerkraut in the fall, and my mother made mincemeat and made mince pies. And she made bread and she made rolls. They were delicious. And she made biscuits. She made big, not little ones, but she made big fat biscuits. And we put butter on them. Another thing we made was apple butter. I have a picture of apple butter making. But everybody made apple butter. We all had apples. And they would come and borrow the kettle to make the apple butter. And we had that all winter. And my mother made cottage cheese. She made that out of, and she made butter. That was before we took it up to the Harvard Creamery. And we had to churn it. We would get tired of doing it, but we did.
Mm.
And we drank the buttermilk. And everything we ate, we had to have ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so I could make a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother made pies. I got so I could make pies. But she made them custard pies. She made them so good that other people remember them because they weren't runny. They were. She made them. Julia makes good custard over here. She makes it very slow, and it doesn't run. But they remember, then she'd give us a piece of pie to take to school, and we'd give people a bite. So that's why they remember the custard pies.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a big pot of hominy, and she'd boil it all day, and then we'd have it for supper. And then next morning for breakfast and for days after that, she'd cut it into slices and fry it. So we had that for breakfast. We didn't have cereals such as we have now. We had oatmeal. We ate oatmeal all our lives. Well, that was good for us. And so we had to eat oatmeal. And we had oatmeal and hominy and hot cake. Oh, fish. My father, every spring, would go to Hamity Grass, and he would, we would have fresh fish in the spring. People would come around with it.
Mm-hmm.
Herring. People turn up their noses at herring, but I love it. I think it's good. And shad. But he would go and get these fish. Take him all day to go there and back 30 miles. And then they'd bring them home and put them in brine. Well, they were just like eating salt, but I didn't care so much for them, but I ate them. And that was another thing we had for breakfast. And all those things we had. And the mother had to be a good cook because she had to make everything that we ate.
Mm.
We thought it was something to get when we got so we could get bread already made, but my mother's was better, I think it was. Of course, this is good. And her biscuits were delicious. And we went to a one-room school, you know, and we went over here, we went out through the woods, and had one teacher,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes she'd have as high as 50 kids. She made them behave.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew anybody that couldn't read. Everybody learned to read somehow or other. Of course, I learned to read before I went to school because I was so crazy about books. My mother got me a little Mother Goose book, and she read it to me till I could read it myself, and I'd read it to my grandmother. My grandmother was Irish. She was Presbyterian, but she was Irish and had that Blarney. She had more of that Irish Blarney than I ever saw in anybody, whether they kissed the Blarney stone or not, because she didn't. She lived here. Her name was Whiteford. She always said Whiteford. I was a Whiteford. And she would come in. She had her own apartment over there, but she would come in and I would read my book to her. Oh, she thought I was so smart. Oh, she would just praise me and everything. Well, my mother, she was Scotch, and she didn't have any blood. And she would say, oh, she can't read it. She just knows it by heart. And I wondered, what in the world knows it by heart meant? But I made her teach me to read. She taught me my ABCs. And she taught me the same ABC off like that. And she taught me to know them, and then she taught me the words. And where I had trouble was telling B from D. I remember that. But I got so I knew it. I said I could read when I went to school. I knew that much. Of course, I couldn't read a book or anything. I was in the first grade when I went to school. But I knew how to read. And my grandmother liked to take me places, too. And she would say, I'm going abroad. And she'd go hook up the horse to the book. That was the horse and buggy days, you know. And she would take me. And she took me to the store one day up here at Nevada. That's always been there. And when she went to the store, she would, of course, they wore the dresses down to the floor. She'd pull up one skirt, and then she'd reach into a pocket and get a pocketbook. And she'd get out and pay for it, and she'd put the pocket back, put a skirt back, and then she was all ready. Well, a man came in named Rampley. There were a lot of Rampleys around then. And she said, whatever his name was, this is my granddaughter. This is my son's daughter. And he said, yes, and I bet she'll be well spoiled. So I don't think it was, but she liked to take me with her places. And she was a great grandmother. Then I had another grandmother from Kirkwood, the picture there. She was my mother's mother. And my mother's father died when she was a baby. She doesn't remember her father. And my father's father died when he was a baby. So they were both without fathers. But then my mother, when my grandmother got married to a Kirkwood when my mother was 12 years old. And he was a terribly religious man, but he wasn't one of those tyrants that you read about in books. She said he never said a cross word to her in his life. And but I thought he was a saint. Because he was so old, he lived to be 96, and here I am, not far from it, but I'm 89, and I never thought I'd live to be that old, but he lived to be 96. He was terribly afraid he would break the Sabbath day. He would go out here to church and drive in a walk, because he couldn't walk. It was several miles up the road, 5 or 6 miles to church, and but he wouldn't drive, he wouldn't make the horse trot. He wasn't supposed to make the horse work on something. So then he'd come back, and then he'd go up to Ayers Chapel in the afternoon very often. And the rest of the time he'd read the Bible. He was terribly afraid he'd break the Sabbath day. I don't know why. And they didn't cook much. Once I was baking a pie here on Sunday, and this is after I was grown up, and my father said, you're not supposed to bake pies on Sunday, are you? And I said, well, I don't say, you cook potatoes on Sunday, you cook chicken on Sunday, and you have to have something to eat on Sunday, so I think you might as well make a pie as anything else. So I made the pie. But I go to church on Sunday too, but I'm not that. This is, my mother called him Uncle Andy. This is his picture. I wanted to show you the picture of a saint. I'll show you that too. This is Andrew Kirkwood. And you see he's got a halo around his head.
He sure does. Huh.
He was terrible. Yeah, she was religious, but she was, practical and down to earth.
Hmm.
He was very, I thought of him as a god. He looks old, and he had those long white whiskers, and he was so good.
Huh.
Now, this is my grandmother's brother, Uncle Sam Whitefoot, and he liked to go fox hunting, so there were his hounds. Dogs.
And this is now
Sam Whiteford is
your grandfather.
He lives up towards Long Road. I don't think there are any Whitefords up there now. But that's where my grandmother. She was Julianne. As I say, she was Irish and she was a grand person. That was Uncle Sam Whiteford. Then, I didn't know I've talked all about a breath. I didn't know I had so much to tell. But it was kind of nice to talk about the old time. No cars, you know. We never had a car until we were grown up. People got cars before that. But it was an awful trial when they tried to go anyplace in it, because they'd meet a horse and buggy, and the horses were rare and charged, and they had to stop, or they would, and let the horse go by, and then it could come on. And then we never even thought of such a thing as an airplane. I've been flying, and I enjoyed it. It was just like going in the car. I didn't jerk or anything. And I went to Bermuda. And that's where my sister lives now, so I don't see her. And I liked it much better than going on a ship, because I got so seasick. Oh, I would get so sick the whole way. And then when I got off the boat, I was all right. Which was a good thing. But the plane, if I wanted to take a ship ride, the ship was all right, but I didn't want to. And the plane, you just got on, and you're there in about an hour now, I think. Just jets down there, and it isn't anything at all. It isn't as much as going someplace up here. You have, and they'll take you from Baltimore now. So, you just go to Baltimore, get on the plane. In an hour or so, you're down there. It's a lovely place to be. But I haven't done much other travel. I've been out to the West Coast. I went out there once. And I wanted to see what California was like. And when we went to high school, we didn't have a bus. We didn't have a snowplow. The snow, and I was about to say that we were about to pour out the milk, and the milk truck came just in time to take it. But it doesn't come through here anymore. Although I think it still goes into town. We're not. There's still plenty of people, but most of especially out on the main road are city people. Are you city people?
Well, I lived here all my life, but
what?
I don't live on a farm.
Grandma Fitz is the one city person that I say that I know. And she's very friendly. She knows more people than I know.
Where'd you go to high school? After your Madonna school, that was one room. And then you went to high school. How'd you get there?
Jarrett Hill. And that was different, too, because we didn't have a bus to take us. And so I went with another girl from the Harford Creamery. And we stayed... we had to stay in Jarrettsville, and then we came home once a week and came back on Monday morning. And my brother went down there, but he rode horseback every day. But, well, I'll show you. High school. It wasn't the Jarrettsville that they have now, of course, and it wasn't it has a picture of my high school class. And that's the principal, and he taught the whole high school, and there were just five of us. And I'm the only one that's living now. The two, Ernest Garrison, just died this spring, and he was just about 90. He was 89 when he died, but he was almost 90. Another one was Minnie Ward. But I think that was the smallest class. After that, the classes got bigger. But they didn't get big like they are now. And he taught the whole high school. All of me in high school is all one building. And did I break that one too?
Did you have the same teacher for you? Did you have your same teacher the whole day?
No, we had different. We had one teacher for most of what we had, but we had the elementary teacher taught. One was Mrs. Mary Kay Smith, but she didn't teach it. Miss Elizabeth Cairns did. And then she was married, she was a playmate. And of course, the still Cairns is done. Do you know any of them?
The realtor life? The realtor?
Well, they, now they've been there, and they've been in Bethel Church for generations.
Oh.
So they're not new people.
Mm-hmm.
But people came from all over the county down there to school, and they had to drive. There was a family of 80. And that was when Howard went with the brother. And they drove up every day, carriage full of kids, a whole bunch of boys and two girls. Then Catherine Ady taught up here in North Park at school. She taught economics. And I haven't seen her for a long time. And some of the boys aren't living. Well, they wouldn't be because my brother isn't. He was a great baseball player, and he was the captain of the ball team, and they were the champion players that year. So he had a good time, and I had a good time at high school. As you see, there were only five in a class, but there was a whole room full of high school kids, and. We had Mr. Herbert Owens, and then we had Mr. Gilbert Coy, he's not living anymore, and I don't think Mr. Owens is. That's my trouble. Everybody's gone. And then I'll have another one. Oh, one was, I attended that. George Adams up here of Nevada, he used to run that garage. And he used to help me when I drove a car. And I saw that he just died. And I didn't know it. One time, I went in there. Something was wrong with my car. And so I went in and I told him. And I said, I don't know what's the matter with it, but it was running, but it didn't sound right. So he lifted up the hood and he looked at it. And after a while, he bent over and he just gave something a little twitch. It's all right. I said, my goodness, I don't see how you do it. And he looked up and smiled and he said, well, I couldn't teach school. Everybody has their own thing they can do, and that's what I always say. Everybody's smart about something, and not about something else.
How did you decide you wanted to teach school?
What?
How did you choose to teach school?
How did I? Well, I taught in one room schools, like my teachers did. I taught that way for a long time, most of the time. And then I finally went over to Highland School, you know where that is. Mrs. Amos was our principal, and I had a big time. Sometimes it was hard for me to adjust to one used to having a boss. But I did it, and we parted friends, so we're still friends. But, and I drove from here over to Holland every day.
And a lesson.
Pauline Carrico, I don't suppose you knew Carrico. Well, he died. But he was from the South. And he was a wonderful person, and I was sorry he had to die, but he did. She lives up in Norrisville, and but she taught the first grade, and I taught the third grade, and we just had a wonderful time, and they were nice kids. I hear things about the children, they're awful, but we didn't have any children like that.
Mm.
They were nice.
Was it usual? How did you choose to be? Why did you choose to be a teacher? How did that happen?
I don't know. I guess I think it was my mother's idea. You see, I was always a good student in school, and I liked to study. And it wasn't because I was smart. I just liked to study, and I studied. And so my mother said that. She was a teacher, and she thought I should be a teacher. It was a little hard for me at first, the discipline was hard, but she wanted me to go to what they called then the normal school. And so there I went, and I had to stay in Baltimore. Then, you know, there wasn't any boarding school. You just had to stay someplace in the city. And I went to school 2 years, and then I was ready to teach. And everybody taught in a women's school at that time, and my goodness, you hardly got any money. But I thought I was rich. And so I kept on, and I kept on teaching. And then finally, there weren't any more women's schools, so they put me over in Highland. But that was nice too, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to drive a car. Pauline and I, so 1 week I drive my car. She lived up here then, up to Jackson's Corner, up there then. And then Talmadge decided he'd sell that place. I don't know why. And then he bought a place up Norrisville. And that's where he lived till he died, which wasn't so long. So then she had to move, and then I had to get into school by myself. And that was a little hard, but it was all right.
Was it unusual for I didn't think many women got the driver's license when.
What?
Was it unusual for women to drive?
Oh, a car? Uh-huh. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Not by then, all the women were driving.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have any trouble that way. I was scared, but I did it. And I taught up at Norrisville first, and I don't know if you know it, but it's a hilly road up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go up in the winter time. I had to go up over these hills and over hills and down hills. And there were times when I wouldn't know which end of the car was going to get to the top first, mm-hmm. but I always made it. Mm-hmm. And they were very nice to me, and they were nice children too. And then when I went to Holland. They were nice people and nice to work with. When I, then last year, well, every year they have a bazaar over in Holland at the church. And Pauline takes me over there. Of course, I drove after I got home from school. I'll go on with what I said. And she took me over there, and I was wandering around the bar looking at things. And somebody came up to me. I never did know who she was. And she said, "Well, my goodness, Miss Turner, are you still going around?" I said, "Yes, indeed, I am. I go every day. And so I do. And I'm glad I am still getting going. Mm-hmm. I have to put something in my ear, and I can't see very much. And I can't walk very well, but I still get around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just thankful that I can. And I can still go. Well, there's something I was going to say, and I told about this one. No, but it doesn't matter. I had a great time. I had a great time teaching. It was hard for me to live in the city and go to school. And but I managed to get it done after a couple of years. And it was hard for me to get used to a big school. And but I did it, and I graduated. I had to work for it, but I got it done.
Do you remember when Milton Wright came to be the superintendent?
Do I remember what?
Milton Wright, the superintendent.
Oh, yes. Milton Wright? Oh, yes. He was the superintendent for a long time when I was teaching. And then, of course, Dr. Willis came.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do any teaching when Roberti was... I've been out of school for 19 years. I never thought I'd be out of school that long. Mm. Here I am. But everybody else, you see, is gone. And there's nobody left except people that still know me and still speak to me and still... they bring me meals every day. Oh, what I was going to say, I fell down. And from upstairs, I didn't fall all the way down, because upstairs come this way, and then go that way, and then come back this way. But I fell down, I was coming down, it was night, and I was coming downstairs, and I didn't turn the light on, but I reached over, I thought I was turning it on, but the stairway is there, and I just stepped out on the air, and down I went, to smash. And so I broke my poor elbow in four places.
Mm.
And of course I had to go to the hospital. But I had to sit there the whole night long because there was nobody in the house. And so when daylight came, I knew it would come sometime. When the daylight did come, I would sort of slide on the floor over to a step and slide down one step and then rest a while and then slide down another step. So I got clear down here, and then I got up into this room. It was about 10 o'clock then, and my niece's little boy was coming across the yard. She was over at her mother's, and I said, "Oh, Freddie, go tell your mother and grandmother I'm hurt. Tell them to come over." So they came right away. I was on the floor, and Julia then, my niece, she cut some of the clothes off, and Julia called for the ambulance, and the ambulance came, and I said, "Oh, please don't hurt me." And they said, "We won't," and they didn't. They picked me up and put me in, and they got in with me and told to me, took me down to Boston Hospital, and never thought I'd be in the hospital, never had been all my life. And then they put me in a hall or someplace. I went, put me and left me. And there I stayed in a moment in the room. Nobody came. After a while, somebody came over and looked in at me. And he decided that they would take me to the, oh, they had to take me to the x-ray room to see what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there all summer, but I wasn't too, at first I couldn't walk, I don't know why, because I didn't break my leg, but I couldn't. And, but I wasn't really sick. I lost a lot of weight, but I didn't mind that. And, I stayed there, I went the last week of July, I was there all this and all September, because I had to have some therapy to make my arm work. And you see now, it just works like anything. But
huh.
Well, I was so afraid it wouldn't, but it did. And I never thought I'd be driving in a car. I used to drive a buggy.
Did you like doing that?
Huh?
Did you enjoy the buggy ride, driving a buggy? Did you like to drive
the
buggy?
Oh, yes, yes. But a horse ran away with me one day. I was driving to school then. And he jumped at something, and it broke the shaft, and then that was still crooked. So he ran. Well, he ran down to where I usually stopped when I went to school that time. And then it got him stopped. But I drove a horse all, I could ride horseback.
Hmm.
But my parents didn't like me to. They were afraid I'd get it off. And you have to have a doctor, you know. Them. And they didn't have a doctor any more than they could help. I didn't have a lot of money. But they didn't spend on me that they didn't have. They didn't work on the installment plan then. And so they got along. And they did all right. My father, my mother lived to be 77. And my father lived to be 87. And so when I passed him, I thought I had done something. And I'm still going. And my father was in pretty good health. He never got bedridden or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He, I was at school, and my brother, Harry, and he, they had lunch, and he had a couch over there in the corner, and he went over to get on it, and he just collapsed.
Mm.
And my brother went to him, but he couldn't get him back, and so they sent for the doctor, and they sent for me, they got everybody, but the doctor said he was dying, and he just lived for a few hours, and then he was gone, but that was, he never had to stay in bed before that, he mm-hmm. just kept going out. He couldn't do much, but he
mm-hmm.
kept on, he could go around, same as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can go a little better, but he ran.
Has this area changed a lot since your childhood?
Has this area? Well, it has because of the farms. You see, they own farmers. Rutledge's over on the other road are still farmers, and they still sell milk. And Peggy's did, but Florence sold her place. Her son, he farmed for a while, but now he drives a truck for somebody. And so Florence built herself a house by herself. And she, so that whole Madonna Road, I don't think it's a farm on it, except Rutledge's.
Mm.
And nobody up this road. Louise Wiley lives on the corner. She lives in a big house by herself, too. And Lee, her husband, had a farm, a dairy farm. But her son, Jerry, he doesn't care for that at all. And their other son, Donnie, doesn't. So he works in the city.
Mm.
And used to be a farmland up here. Well, now people live on it, but they don't farm any. Grandma Fitz, her name is Fitzsimmons. But the her son-in-law's name, her daughter's name is Doak, D-O-A-K. And he still works in the city, but the boys are grown up now and married, and I don't really know what to do. Oh, the youngest one works at the Forest Hill Bank. I think he's still there. And I don't know where Doug is.
Did you feel much of the effects of, like, the depression? Did you feel the effects of the depression very much around here?
Like the effects of the what?
Depression.
Oh, not so much, because that was in the milk check days, and they always do milk check anyhow. But it was pretty bad. We could feel it, but we're poverty stricken because of the milk check. And I never thought that would stop, you know. But when you didn't have anybody to do the farming, well, even I was sad when they sold the cows. I really was. I'd love to see the cows out in the field again. There's Magnus up here, further on up this road, and he has a dairy farm. And he has some boys, and they help farm it. And so I see cows when I go up there. And if I go over to Holland, they still have cows over there. And I see them. And I'm so around here. Dr. Rummage, that he's the vet. So of course he doesn't keep any cows. And he lives on this road, up on a hill. And he's a good vet. And he has some boys, but they don't do any farm work. But there's some other village boys over there. They're Bill's boys, and they farm. The oldest one is Jim, and he's still living. But he's not able to do anything. Neither is his wife. And but there are two boys up there that farm. And I don't know anybody on the Vidana, don't know them all, there's two people.
Does Jared, is this area isolated in a way from the rest of the county?
Is what isolated?
Jared, this area, Vidana.
I don't think so, but it might be a little bit, because not everybody knows where it is. And we like it this way, but it's not like it used to be. It used to be I would start out here and go up to Madonna and not meet a car, not meet a soul. But now I always meet, you know, there's a place where you're down in a hollow and you can't see what, and you go around the bend and you can't see what's coming. I always meet somebody in that place. But not too many people along the road, but there are a lot more than there used to be. Because my niece goes out to go, well, she goes all the way into Baltimore. She works at the First National Bank. And the next one is Tiger. Well, Tiger is Tiger Bennett. He's a retired horse jockey. And part of that farm has been sold. People up here on the corner got part of it. But that was this farm and the old Turner farm and the Jim Turner farm. They were all there together. But, well, this farm and the old Turner farm is still together. It makes 200 acres, and that was a good comfortable size farm to farm. You have to have some land when you have a farm. And they raised a lot of corn, because they had corn for the cows. And and they were waiting for me. So the summertime was a busy time for me. I got out of school, but then I had to cook for five men. And by the time, I didn't get breakfast for them all, just my father and my brother. And then my other brother, Howard, my horse would come over. I mean, sometimes they'd go over there, but this was a bigger farm, so they were here most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so they'd come, my brother would come, and his son, who still lives there, and he was a little boy then, or he was a young boy, he'd drive a tractor, and now he has a great big bushy whisker, and he's a grandfather. And I can't get used to all that. But he would come, and Howard would come, and Howard Jr. would come, and then they always had a boy that came to spend the summer because he liked to be in the country. Mm-hmm. And he would come, and he, none of them are living now except to Howard Jr., because that boy isn't. And of course, Howard Jr. is. My father's gone, my brother Harry's gone, my brother Bob's gone. Well, yeah, I didn't have to cook for him. And then the daughter would come to drive the tractor. One of them was Dr. Turner. She, after she got to school, she kept going to school and kept going to school. Finally, she got the medical school. She got to be she really is the doctor. And she was the doctor around here for a long time. And then she decided she would go away and do something else. So she's up in Vermont and she works in the hospital. And she says, oh, the people thought it was terrible when she left. It was, because they all said she was a good doctor and she was a comfort to them. And but she said she had to do so much paperwork, she didn't have time to tend to a patient. And she wanted to start a clinic, and the zoning wouldn't let her do it, and that made her mad. So she works in a hospital in Vermont, cold up there. And but she likes that. She likes to restore people's bones, you see. They bring them in the hospital. They go skiing in Vermont, and they break the legs. And so then she patches them up, and she likes that. And so the other daughter, Nancy, she was just here to see me. But she has two daughters. She's been teaching school. And her husband, he runs an organization called Big Brothers. Did you ever hear of it? Mm-hmm. Well, he was in Florida, and I visited them in Florida when they were there. And I'm glad they did. But she didn't like it. She said it was too hot. And so she went to, they moved Les Paul to Illinois. So she came here, and I told her I had plenty of room and plenty of beds, but I couldn't do much cooking for her, and she'd have to do it, so that's the way we managed it. And she went away, and a lot of people asked her to come, and she went over to Howard, of course that's her brother, and Doris gave him some lunch. And she went to see some friends. And then she went to Baltimore then her husband had, the reason they came, he came to a conference. And then he had to go to Philadelphia. And while he was in Philadelphia, she came here. And she got to see her old home country. Mm-hmm. And then when he got through in Philadelphia, he came to Baltimore where his people are. She met him at college. She went to Western Maryland. And so then she and the girls went there. She had the car. They drove in, mm-hmm. and they drove back. And I hadn't heard from her since, but she had to go to work soon. She got back. So she doesn't teach now. She works in social service. And she says it's harder because it's such a long hour. But she was lucky to get a job when she went out there. Mm-hmm. But he had it already when he went out. Mm-hmm. He works at that, he always has, Big Brother. And so they've just been gone. I thought I was right smart to have three people for company, but they took care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether I could manage it or not, but I knew she wanted to see the place where she lived. She wanted the children to see. So one day, we went to the Rocks Park, and Juliet over there took some fried chicken and potato salad, and we took some lunch. And so we had a good time that day. That was the day they left. We went Friday morning, and then Friday afternoon they had to leave. So I missed them when they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the times have changed, and some of it is good, and some of it isn't so good. Of course, like having a car, I don't drive one now. After I got out of the